UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Patients with acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, may present with severe respiratory flares that require intensive management. My guest today is Dr. Vincent Valentine. He's a professor in the Division of Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine and the Medical Director of Lung Transplantation at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Valentine. Explain a little bit about acute respiratory distress syndrome, what exactly this is.
Well, as the name implies, it is a syndrome with a variety of conditions that could trigger it, notably infections, viral infections, infections away from the lung. We call it sepsis if there's an intra-abdominal infection or even a bad cellulitis somewhere on the skin, but also patients who suffer with trauma, inhalational exposures, fire exposures can develop sudden respiratory distress where they have difficulty oxygenating their blood and their tissues.
What are some complications of acute respiratory distress syndrome if left untreated or undiagnosed?
Well, on one hand, patients who have such distress do present to emergency rooms rather quickly, and frequently they end up intubated on a ventilator, mechanical ventilation, in efforts to improve their gas exchange, to improve oxygen, and to help eliminate their carbon dioxide. Again, it's a syndrome, and specifically defined by a consensus conference where the amount of oxygen tension divided by how much oxygen enrichment they're on is below 300. It's really acute lung injury. Once they're below 200, it's the acute respiratory distress syndrome. And as it gets lower and lower, if that ratio gets below 100, it's even more severe. So that's one, is recognizing that the syndrome, in the absence of heart failure or other conditions where they may be fluid overloaded, some of the complications are really centered around mechanical ventilation and the triggering cause of the ARDS. In the last decade, and more recently in the last 8 years, related to the influenza epidemic, there's a strategy to minimize mechanical ventilation, which usually requires positive pressure, forcing air into the lungs to help gas exchange. A strategy that's emerged is extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, where we can put cannulas in patients, usually in the neck, and pull blood out, and an external source can oxygenate and remove CO2 with less pressure put on the lung, or less stress to put on the lung, if you will, as the lungs need to peel and heal, and we can externally provide the gas exchange for these patients.
Are there any early signs and symptoms before ARDS develops?
Usually not. However, there may be patients who have other conditions, comorbid conditions, that may make them more susceptible to pneumonias, for example, because any pneumonia presentation can deteriorate or degenerate into ARDS. Patients may have a variety of inflammatory conditions in their body unrelated to the lungs that can eventually affect the lungs, and they can actually get rather suddenly short of breath, can't catch their breath, suddenly need oxygen, and will present similar to ARDS, again, as parameters defined by the oxygen tension in their blood divided by how much oxygen they require, and again, below 200. So, you know, comorbid conditions may actually predispose such patients. And again, ARDS is really the syndrome that occurs rather suddenly within minutes to sometimes literally minutes if exposure to a chlorine gas bill, for example, to within a day or two. Anything taken longer than that would not necessarily be ARDS.
Are there some valuable prognostic tools to aid in early diagnosis or quick diagnosis of ARDS, and how important are they to improve outcome prediction?
Well, indirectly, I made a comment about the PFIO2 ratio, again, the arterial oxygen tension divided by the FIO2. Again, below 300 is acute lung injury, below 200 is ARDS, and there's what's been added to this, the Berlin criteria, where that ratio falls below 150, falls below 100, and as they get lower and lower in that ratio, the more severe and the worse the prognosis. Thus, the interventional strategies have been considered to maybe be using external support. So this Berlin criteria is there. There are all sorts of criteria related to the acuity of illness in the patients, the Apache score, a SOFA score that we really don't need to get into right now that we do use, but that's more in the setting of how acutely ill the patient is. These patients invariably need to be in an intensive care unit and in a unit that's well-equipped and experienced in managing such patients.
Does sometimes on a chest X-ray, for example, ARDS look like heart failure? Can they be confused?
Yes, and there are a few publications about that. When the patients, again, get rather suddenly out of breath, they can get rather suddenly out of breath if they have a barbecue feast, if you will, or a large salt load, particularly in patients who have underlying heart disease, and they can retain a lot of fluid, or they can even have an acute heart attack that can back up fluid into the lung or a valve problem in their heart. So the X-ray of patients with ARDS and the X-ray of patients who have acute heart failure can be a little similar, just a glance at the X-ray. The lung fields could be whited out, but sometimes if you could look more carefully, you can see if the blood vessels are a little more plump as they would be in heart failure. And it's a subtle distinction described by Vanderbilt in the past that can help delineate what might be ARDS and not ARDS. And that's an important point because heart failure is a mimic of ARDS, and we got to make sure, you know, a 60, 65-year-old presents rather suddenly out of breath. Make sure it's not a cardiac or heart reason. And once you've eliminated that possibility, then you might be dealing with ARDS, whereas you have a young patient is less likely to be a heart reason, although that some of those patients still can have a heart problem for their rather sudden respiratory distress.
And depending on the diagnosis, Dr. Valentine, assess for us the appropriateness of specific treatments that you would use once you detect what's going on.
Well, again, it's the underlying trigger of ARDS is in part, most of the time, it's related to some infection. Viruses have fewer treatments than bacteria. You know, pneumonia, so you want to treat the potential underlying pneumonia. Again, it could be a systemic infection. Patients with acute pancreatitis can present with ARDS, so we would have to focus our efforts on managing the pancreatitis. But on top of that, these patients are on mechanical ventilation, and we want to make sure we minimize trauma to the lungs related to the positive pressure of the ventilator. So there is a study, the ARDSnet trial showed that minimizing the amount of tidal volume that the patient's required to 6 milliliters per kilogram of ideal body weight or lower, and minimizing the distension pressures, the difference between the plateau pressure and the positive end expiratory peak pressures below 30, preferably lower, to minimize any trauma to the lungs, because the ventilator can impart more trauma or even further trauma or trigger more worse trauma in patients who are trying to be managed with ARDS. The lungs they will peel and they would need to heal, but we can damage them further if we're not too careful with the mechanical ventilatory strategies as we are focusing on the underlying cause.
And what are some factors based on what you're doing with ventilation associated with hospital mortality and maybe 1-year mortality?
Well, I mean, most of these studies are really retrospective, but mortality for ARDS has improved over the years a little bit. The younger population does better. Somebody with an isolated lung event, you know, influenza, pneumonia, in a 30-year-old, for example, their mortality might be as low as 20%, perhaps less. The older the patient, the more likely comorbidities are there. Those patients could have mortalities as high as 60%. So age is a huge variable. Comorbid conditions, other chronic illnesses play a role in how well they're going to recover. And again, it's how the patients are managed with ARDS, with the positive pressure ventilation.
And what would you want other physicians to know about ARDS and what they should be aware of?
Well, one, patients, physicians in the area of UAB should be aware that we're well-equipped to manage their patients who they think have ARDS, and we actually are recommending early referral. We see quite a bit of ARDS here. We're getting referrals every month to get the patients here to, you know, with a team of physicians and nurses and nurse practitioners and respiratory therapists that are well experienced in managing such patients, where one strategy, can we get them through just using mechanical ventilatory support? Getting them here early gives us an opportunity to see those patients who may actually get worse and may have to go to more drastic measures such as ECMO, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, which we have good experience here at UAB. And so I think the awareness of the physicians in the area to refer them here, because, you know, we would love to manage these patients for them instead of them having to decide their patient who they're managing with ARDS gets worse in their hands, and then they're referring them a little late. And I'd like to believe we have a well-experienced team managing such patients, and those management strategies may include temporary paralysis of the patient, proning, and then if those strategies are not working or patients are getting acutely worse, we can get them set up for ECMO and manage them through ECMO. Just recently, we've had several patients referred for ARDS that we did not even have to use ECMO, and we actually got them through it. We did have a few others that did get referred here, and we had to put them on ECMO, and we've even gotten those patients through it. Our success really stems from our team effort of specialized physicians in critical care, pulmonary critical care, even lung transplantation, and the nurse practitioners and nursing personnel, and the ECMO and perfusion personnel for ECMO.
And how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
They can call our missed line, our missed operators, which I'm sure you can provide the number. Actually, my cell number, they can ask the operator to contact Dr. Valentine or Dr. Willie, W-I-L-L-E. Either one of us are always on call. There's a Dr. Rusinoff or the UAB ICU attending, which has a variety of different people. But Dr. Willie and myself are on call pretty much 24/7, and our numbers never go off or are never turned off.
And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by using the missed line 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. And tell us about your team, Dr. Valentine. Why is UAB so great to work with?
Again, we have a team of experienced personnel. If you want to look to the nth degree, that would be ECMO again, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, where they have over 300 patient experiences over the last several years. It's one of the largest programs in the country, with very good success, actually. And ARDS is a rewarding condition where these patients can be turned around, because we just need to buy the patient and their lungs some time to peel and heal while we don't impose the damaging effects of positive pressure. We certainly don't want to put everybody on ECMO, but if we have the patient in front of us, it's easier for us to decide whether they need it or not. And, you know, just in the last several months, we're becoming increasingly aware which patients may not require ECMO. So, and all of the personnel I mentioned, from the bedside nurse, the respiratory therapist, to the nurse practitioners, and the team approach of physicians, intensivists, pulmonologists, and consultants have gained a considerable amount of experience just over the last several months and going back to several years. That's where UAB can make a difference.
Thank you so much, Dr. Valentine, for being with us today. You're listening to UAB Medcast, and for more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.